Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard. Hope you guys are having a great week. Bulldogs still winning. Yeah. Got a chance to get back at it this evening. That's one of the reasons we're getting the show done earlier today. And a lot to talk about, of course, since we've been together. The Mississippi State women have won another basketball game. We'll have a men's basketball game this evening. Baseball game this evening. Cool top 10 list for you, too. I've already interviewed Delaware head coach Greg Mamula. That will run Thursday morning. It's already been printed or posted, published within our system. And so it'll be available for your reading pleasure. Of course, those are all VIP features. And this morning, read a little bit of a scouting report on Alcorn State starter and interview with their coach. That's what we do, try to bring you guys a standard of excellence. I think our baseball program deserves it. When you think of our rich tradition, the legacy, of course, of Mississippi State baseball, I think it requires everybody's best effort, including mine. And so we try to give you unique content you won't find anywhere else. It's a cool thing, too, to be able to get these head coaches on the phone and be able to talk a little ball with them. Kind of understand a little more about their teams, but also, too, their thoughts about Mississippi State and playing at the Dude. All of those things, I think, are important. And I believe you all deserve to have the best coverage of your college baseball team that you possibly can. And that's what we aspire to. I had somebody tell me about 6 months ago, somebody involved in our coaching search, they were told that if you come to Mississippi State, you will get more extensive coverage than anywhere else in the country. I take that as a personal compliment because we love college baseball. You love college baseball. We're not just going to be an aggregate news site that just kind of regurgitates what HealthState.com produces. That's just not who we are. We're going to do that stuff too, but it's not going to be the purpose of our existence. What do you need us for? Just to rewrite and rerun press releases that HealthState.com does, right? They're not going to go out and interview opposing coaches. They can't do recruiting stuff. And so we try to carve out a little niche for ourselves and give you guys the greatest coverage available in the history of Mississippi State University over at jeanspage.com. And I believe we deliver on that every day. Matter of fact, as I'm recording this show, we've already got 5 stories up. Yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about last night's game. We'll preview tonight's game, and cool top 10 list. We'll talk some basketball as well. We'll tell you this, we still have not hired a wide receivers coach. As you guys know, the Bush Hamden situation takes a job here and then leaves for Miami. I'm told it was a very difficult thing for him, but it's like, hey, you only get so many chances to coach in the National Football League. So wish Bush the best, wish Jeff Labby the best as we push forward. I am told we're not planning to promote from within. We got some few things out there. And Leb's one of those people that is very, very optimistic about life, and I'm sure he will shoot for the stars. And if we come up a little bit short, I think we'll still be pleased with the hire ultimately. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We love them more than a friend because they do so many wonderful things to nourish us, to entertain us, and to care for us, right? It's a dining experience when you go to Bulldog Burger Company. You can really say that about all the Eat With Us group restaurants. It's a dining experience. It's not just a place to go eat. So go put your feet under their table and just let them take care of you. They know how to feed folks. They do. You can have an adult beverage if you're so inclined. You can have working lunch with colleagues or perhaps a night out with family or maybe it's a date night. I'd encourage you to, if you got a Mississippi State college student that you love, maybe visit the eatwithus.com website and get them a gift card so they can have a night out on you. That's a great and thoughtful gift, right? And listen, my wife will tell you I may be the most thoughtful gift buyer in the history of the world. So I'm sharing with you something that'll make everybody in your family smile a little bit brighter. You know, all of a sudden that gift card shows up and they go out and have a nice meal with friends or perhaps it's date night. Who knows what that date night could lead to? And you could be a part of that. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more than that. And you get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's jump into it, man. Let's talk a little bit about last night. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't say I was worried about the game, but I was concerned. You know, because last year Troy came in here and did a really good job on the mound, and we knew they were planning to start some P4 guys and work some guys out of the bullpen. And that's an offense that's one of the better ones in the Sun Belt. So we knew we had to play well. We did play well for the most part. We had a couple, you know, a couple bumps along the way, and you're going to have that early in the year. Going to beat some up and downs with young guys. This is how life works. But excited about the win. You know, we chanced to interview Skylar Mead earlier this week, and he kind of told us, you know, they were going to bring some bullets in the gun. And fortunately, State gets on Blake Dean early. Of course, Blake Dean, a former reliever and spot starter at Kansas State, he makes his way to Troy and earns the start. He has had some control issues. That didn't really flare up much yesterday. Bulldogs were very, very patient. I thought our pitch selection was really good at the plate. That's the offense that we saw last night that we've been expecting to see. I even had a conversation with Logan Lowry in postgame, who was head of baseball communications. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to see a lot in the spring. We saw a lot in the fall. And I said, is this more in line with what you – he goes, yeah, this is more in line with what I've seen from this team. He goes, and I just kind of feel like some guys this weekend will press in a little bit. I thought last night we had a very relaxed approach at the plate. Of course, State, you know, we get 1-2-3. You know, Duke Stone I thought was outstanding. It's a 1-2-3 inning to start. And the next thing you know, man, we're off and running. Nunley singles with one out. Reese then singles back up the middle. And we got runners on the corners for Aiden Teal, who doubles through the right side. Good hustle here on the play. A lot of people would have not taken that extra base. Well, he hustles and gets it done. Run scores. Now you got runners in scoring position, two in scoring position. And Vitas Valencas, or Valencias, depending on your preference, making his first start as a Bulldog. Singles to left field, both runs score. It's 3-0. And then Garrick Frye follows with a triple to left center to make it 4-0. And so Bulldogs up early, 4-0. And it really changes the dynamic of your opponent just a little bit. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to bunt and run as much. You know, you're not going to sacrifice runners. I mean, because even though it's still early, you start thinking, hey, this thing could end a little prematurely if we're not careful. Well, Stone a 1-2-3 inning there in the second. Bulldogs pick up right where they left off in the second inning. And it's Sean James. And is he not making this catcher competition a little more interesting? Right? I mean, we went out and got Maluski from Seton Hall, and offensively it's been a bit of a challenge. And Sean James may not be as skilled behind the plate as a receiver as Maluski, but Sean James has already gotten some big hits for the Bulldogs. So he opens up, singles through the right side, then takes the bag. And then with one out, Woodson doubles down the left field line. Good to see Ryder kind of get – he's had some barrels, man. Last night I thought he barreled up a lot. And just kind of had some tough luck, but doubles this one down the left field line. That's it for Blake Dean. They bring in Zach Crotchfeld, former Auburn pitcher. And Ace Reese is like, well, hello, Blake. Or goodbye, Blake. And hello, Zach. And it's a two-run bomb to center field. Makes it 7-0. So Bulldogs up 7-0. And then Vitas Valencas, just for fun, with two outs in the inning, gets another base hit. So Stone continues to deal there in the third, gets another 1-2-3 inning. State gets a leadoff walk-on to open the third, but can't push him around. Then in the fourth, Troy finally gets on the board, and we nearly make the play here. You know, this is, again, we talk about execution, right? We have – Duke Stone was absolutely outstanding. We make a mistake here, it comes back to haunt us. We get a ground out, and then we hit Janicki. Get – Cavill to strike out, he's really struggling. Again, that's the preseason Sun Belt Player of the Year. And then Darnell hits a long fly ball to center. Aiden Teal nearly makes the catch, collides with the wall. The ball comes loose. It ends up being a triple. The run scores. Then we hit Meyer with the pitch to kind of aggregate the anxiety a bit. And we get Aspilqueto to strike out swinging to end the threat. So well hit ball there. We nearly made a play. Couldn't quite get it done. But it's a 7-1 game. With one out in the fourth, Ace Reese singles to left field again. And they're in the shift here. And, man, what a great job of hitting. I mean, he rifles that ball to left. Ends up 5-for-5. Great. They nearly get him picked off, throw the ball away. And ultimately, we couldn't make it count. Vitas Valinkas again on base. He gets a walk, a two-out walk. And then Garrick Fry, you know, three-pitch strikeout there. I thought Garrick had a tough day at the plate. We bring in now William Kirk here in the fifth, and he kind of picks up where Duke left off. And Duke was fading a little bit. 1-2-3 inning there in the fifth. Bottom of the fifth, they bring in Brock Tapper, former Mississippi State reliever Brock Tapper. And, yeah, wish Brock the best. Maybe he'll do some good things there. He gives up a single to Blake Beavis. Parker strikes out, and then Sean James homers to left center. And there was no doubt off the bat that thing was going to leave the yard. It's 9-1. And so we go to the sixth, and then Kirk, you know, kind of has some issues here. Apiasecki gets a single up the middle. They get Janecki, and then Cavill singles. That pushes Apiasecki to second. Darnell, who had a good ball game against the singles down the left field line, drives in a run to make it 9-2. We go out and chat, and then there's a pass ball that allows everybody to move up. And then we get back-to-back punchies to get out of it. And so we had a little adversity, and Kirk works through it. That's the one thing about having a big margin in these midweek games is you can let these guys face some adversity and see how they handle it. Because no matter what the score is, we've got to execute. But you can't find out how they're going to execute with ducks on the pond until they actually execute with ducks on the pond. Ace doubles down the left field line, and then the CI puts Teal on. So we've got a threat going here, and we do what good teams do. We make people pay for mistakes. And what do you know? It's Vitas Valencias doubling down the right field line. You're talking about a pro-graded bat. This is it. This is it. Takes that slider the other way. It's a double. Both guys score. It's 11-2. And now we're already starting thinking in the media, okay, who do we want to talk to post-game? This thing's going to be over in 7 innings. That's it for Tapper. They bring in Dylan King, who did a good job for Troy. He gets a ground out, and then there's a walk, but ultimately is able to get out of this inning. But it's 12-2 because on the fielder's choice there, you know, Parker hits the fielder's choice, Valencia scores. So it's 12-2. We need three outs to get the mercy rule. Unfortunately, it didn't work out quite as well as we hoped. Leadoff single. They pinch hit. It's almost like they're giving you the white flag. And then Jay Boroff singles. So now all of a sudden, you get two men on and nobody out. We bring in Chris Billingsley, and he immediately walks a guy. Base is loaded. We go out and chat. Then it's a single. Two runs score on the play, makes it 12-4. Then Janicki basically lines one off Billingsley. He can't recover and throw him out. Another run scores. Bring in Jack Gleason. And Jack's had two good outings already. Gets three outs in all three guys that he faces. And again, we talk about facing adversity. Gleason has been kind of thrown to the fire a little bit, come out the other side of it unsinged. All right, bottom of the seventh, State kind of tacks on a little bit here. Not enough to walk it off, but Nunley's hit by the pitch. And then with one out in the inning, Reese, again, doubles to left center. you know, we're thinking here about the cycle, right? Reese is thrown out at third. I mean, it was just kind of a destiny type thing. It's like I'm going to make them make a play. And in that circumstance, I don't really fault them. I don't. But not in a 13-5 ball game. Top of the eighth, we bring in Jack Bauer to make his Bulldog debut. He strikes out the side. It was impressive, but I want to tell you, I think the reels make it look a lot more impressive than it was. We got deep in the count with Aspilqueta, and we got deep in the count with Baroff. And so we had a little bit trouble finishing, guys. We strike out the side there. I'm not taking that away by any stretch, but it was good. Bottom of the eighth, State gets, you know, a two-out base hit from Beavis, and we couldn't do much with it there. And then the ninth, we bring Bauer back out. He gets a ground out, then it's a walk, then it's a single. And tough play there. I mean, we nearly get make the play there. The ball's hit into the right field grass. Fry ranges over, makes the play. It was a very difficult play. And we don't get the call. I think it was the right call. And then wild pitch, moves everybody around. Then it's a walk. And it's another walk that forces in a run to make it 13-6. And on that walk, it's two pitch clock violations. Yeah, you got to look up and go out of eye with the hitter. You got to, you know, that's kind of what starts. You bring in Maddox Webb, who I think is going to prove to be a very valuable piece of this thing for State. Very angry closer mentality. You love it, man. And he's able to get out of it, right? He gets Meyer to pop up. They bring in the pinch hitter, Dylan Cool, who gets an infield single, allows a run in 13-7, and then we get the ground ball. We force the runner at second, but. Yeah, one big swing there from being awfully interesting, but at no point in this ball game did it ever feel like Mississippi State was being threatened, ever. It just never felt like there was going to be a problem at all, nor should there be. Let's look at a box score. Go back.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus an extra $100 off all mattresses. End Saturday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Talk about this, but big night for Ace Reese, obviously. 5 for 5, 3 RBI, scored 3 runs. Nunnally with another hit. Thought he had a couple really good at-bats. Ryder Woodson, again, barreled up multiple baseballs, but only has the one hit to show for it. I think he'll get going. I thought last night was a good night for him, even though the statistics don't show it. And, of course, Aiden Teal with a nice at-bat. And Vitus Valinkas, 4 at-bats and reaches base all 4 times. He's 3 for 3 and then has a walk. Garrick Fry, 1 for 5. Blake Beavis, 2 for 3, but also had a pair of walks there. So he gets on base 4 times, too. Jacob Parker, a little bit unlucky in his first start. Very first at-bat, he hits a liner that looks like it's going to get inside the bag at third. A great play by the third baseman from Troy, Josh Pine, there to end that inning and prevent an even bigger inning. 8 of 9 starting Bulldogs had a hit in the ballgame. Sean James, we've mentioned him, 2 for 4 in the ballgame, 2-run score, a couple of RBIs. Get to the pitching side of this thing. Blake Dean, we talked about him a little bit. A guy that kind of specializes in spin, doesn't have an overpowering fastball, but the spin rate on the breaker and the slider are almost 3,000. He goes 1 1/3 innings, allows 6 runs on 7 hits, strikes out a pair. So Bulldogs kind of all over him. Says a good job about our hitting coaches to kind of prepare for that. Zach Crotchfeldt, former Auburn Tiger, I thought he had some good moments. 2 2/3 of an inning, allows 1 run on 3 hits, 4 strikeouts and a couple of walks. Brock Tapper, not quite as successful, just goes in an inning, allows 5 runs on 4 hits, 4 of them earned, strikes out just 1. You know he was jacked to play us. Dylan King, I thought, again, thought he did a good job. Gives up 1 hit on 1 run. Didn't strike out anybody, but did have the 1 walk. They bring in Jackson Lucas. Got him in the game. He had a couple punch outs, the only 2 hitters that he saw. And then Brady Richardson gets a hit, allows a hit, and gets a strikeout. But on the Bulldog side of things, Duke Stone, 4 innings pitched. And remember, he threw 47 over the weekend on Friday, threw 58 last night. 4 innings pitch, 1 hit, 1 run, and of course that comes on the triple. 6 punch-outs, no walks. You love that. However, a couple of hit batsmen. So some teachable moments, even for a guy that had a really good outing. William Kirk, again, we think this guy's got some real potential. He's actually credited with the win because he was the pitcher of record because Stone only goes to 4 innings. But Kirk allows 3 runs on 5 hits, 3 strikeouts, and no walks. Bill Winsley did not retire a hitter, allowed two hits, and walked one. So the three guys he faced all reached base. Jack Gleason, of course, comes in with the fireman's hat on. We talked about Jack Bauer. One hit, two runs charged, three walks, three strikeouts, and he had the wild pitch. And again, there's going to be up and down with young guys. He's going to be good. Maddux went up two-thirds of an inning, allows just that one infield hit, and gets us out of it. So William Kirk credited with the win, and you know, the loss goes to Blake Dean, as it should. But yeah, good ball game. Now Mississippi State will get ready to play Alcorn State tonight. They're going to throw left-handed pitcher Caden Wade. Now, he is originally from Meridian, Mississippi, but spent his senior year at Stockbridge High School out in Georgia. Was part of a good program out there. Initially set to go to Meridian Community College, but with a change of staff there at Alcorn, they're looking for players. They go out and sign him. He has pitched somewhat sparingly. He's given up about two hits per inning. Left-hander, soft-toss and junk ball guy, will work a slider and a breaker, and you know, we'll see how things go. But again, you had a chance to talk to Carlton Hardy earlier this week, ran that story this morning. He's impressive, man. He had a run at Savannah State, a long, long tenure at Savannah State, and had some good years in the MEAC out there. But it was a wild weekend for them. They get mercy ruled by Grambling State in game one down in Pearl at Trustmark. They have the MLB HBCU Power Series. Get a lot of these HBCU teams together for like a, you know, season opening tournament. Coach Hardy played at Grambling State, so you know that one was important for him. They get mercy ruled. Then in game two, Prairie View's down 10-8 in the ninth. It's 10-8. You just got to close it out, right? Need three outs. Let's get out of here. Guys, they gave up seven runs. Alcorn State gave up seven runs in the ballgame and lose 15-10. And then they bounce back on Sunday, and they walk off Jackson State. Rivalry game, right? So 8-7 is your final. And it says a lot about that team's competitive nature, right? Now, it's going to hopefully be a different ball game this afternoon. First pitch at 4 o'clock. But, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic playing the schools of Mississippi, as you guys are well aware. They do have a handful of guys that have hit the ball pretty well. Now, they have not hit a home run this year, but they've only allowed one. Now, granted, some of that's because they played in a minor league ballpark. But Rayfield Adams III, currently leading them in most statistical categories, has 14 at-bats, 6 hits, 3 RBI, 1 double. They've only got 4 extra base hits as a team. They've only allowed 4 extra base hits as a team as well. And it's interesting, too. Stolen bases against 11 of 13, Alcorn 7 of 8, successful. So I suspect they'll get out and try to run a little bit. But I think we'll be able to run as well. Jameer Holloway hitting 375 for them. He is a guy that's been a singles-only guy, but has put the ball in play. He's got three games under his belt and a pair of starts. Keaton Hawk is another guy, too, that it's a different dynamic with this recruiting footprint. Like, it, ideally, you want to go out and get the best players you can. But Alcorn State, for the most part, has been kind of a Mississippi-based program. We've taken a lot of junior college players from Mississippi, a lot of high school players, and then over in Louisiana, sometimes over in Alabama. You look at that roster this year, it's completely different. It's completely different. And, of course, it's year two. But you start running through this here. I mean, just real quickly, you got a kid from Goodyear, Arizona, Atlanta, Georgia, a kid from Puerto Rico, Jonesboro, Georgia, Cypress, Texas, Brownsville, Tennessee, Rockville, Maryland, Alvin, Texas, Hogansville, Georgia, and so Frankfort, Kentucky. But you can run this down yourself, and you'll see there's not a lot of Mississippi high school guys on this team. They've really gone out and worked the portal and worked the junior college ranks, trying to improve their talent level. And I tell you, talking to Coach Hardy, he's impressive. And I really like him, and I hope they do well. Obviously not tonight, but you know, that's the thing that I think about. I want our Mississippi programs, with rare exception, to do well, right? We are a baseball-crazy state. I like it when Jackson State makes the regional. You know, you'd love for Alcorn State and some of those other teams to have the opportunity to do that as well. They just don't have the same level of tradition. And it's so interesting. Like, sometimes I'll see people that'll put these things out there, you know, about SWAC teams. You know, we lost to the SWAC teams. We lost to Jackson State multiple times during the Polk era. You know, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. They had some great teams that had some major leaguers on it. You know, and so Alcorn State's a little bit different. They've always, and I hate to be disrespectful when I say this, but, you know, they've always kind of been the little brother to Jackson State when it comes to baseball. Football, maybe not so much, but baseball, yes. Alcorn has only reached the NCAA tournament one time, and that was back in 2011. And they went to the Rice Regional and didn't go well out there, but they had the opportunity. They've only won the SWAC tournament twice. They've won the regular season championship once. So it's an interesting dynamic, to say the least. And it's just kind of part of the deal. But no matter who the opponent is, we need Mississippi State to win. Provided the Bulldogs win tonight, we'll be 5-0. Be the first 5-0 start since the 2020 abbreviated season, as you guys are well aware what happened back then. But, yeah, it's been a while since we got out of the gate this strong, and some people would say, well, it's the schedule. No, it's really not. You know, it's really not. That we, everybody kind of plays kind of loose and fast early in the year unless you're in one of those season-opening tournaments out at Globe Life, and we'll be out there next week. We'll find out a lot more about what we have next week. But right now, the focus is getting Alcorn State and then getting Delaware in this weekend. Delaware went 0-3 over the weekend, losing to Elon, not Musk, the school, Elon, the Phoenix. And then they bounced back to beat LaSalle, the Explorers, last night. Now, LaSalle, their program has been on hiatus, and they bring their former coach back from Manhattan last year. And so now LaSalle, the Explorers, are back. They sweep their opening series, and then last night Delaware gets them, the Fighting Blue Hens. And so we'll talk more about Delaware as we get into Friday's show, but you can read a lot more about the Fighting Blue Hens, no G, fighting with an apostrophe, Thursday morning. And as Coach Greg Mamala kind of gives us some insight on what to expect. That's over at jeanspage.com. But, yeah, we have a real chance to go 5-0 this week. And one of the things that I like from a scheduling standpoint, and this was already kind of trending this way before Brian O'Connor got here, you know, we would play two games in Biloxi the last week of non-conference play and then open up an SEC weekend. Didn't make a lot of sense to me. Now we're all going to play the one game down in Biloxi. I'm not opposed to playing two in Biloxi, but I want to play it earlier in the year. And so I don't want to do it. I don't want to play five games the week of opening play in SEC. And so that's a change. Let's get it done now, and let's let some guys get some work in. We can kind of begin to figure out who we can trust. And then kind of move forward. But you got a real chance to go 5-0 this week. Now, again, Delaware, again, we'll talk more about them on Friday. It's a program that's got some tradition. It's been a little while since they've been to the tournament. Been a few years since they've been to the tournament. But it's a good, pretty good brand of baseball in the CAA. And what I mean by that is coaching. We played Northeastern last year down in the regional down in Tallahassee. There was a talent differential, but those kids are well coached. So when we play these Northeastern teams, we're going to get teams that are going to do things the right way. They're just not going to have the talent that we see ordinarily in this neck of the woods. And it's kind of a bucket list trip for them. You know, it's three games for us to try to get guys ready. I suspect you're going to see the offense from last night carry over to the weekend. And again, we'll see what happens with this soft toss and lefty. You know, tonight, State has got to kind of sit back and be patient with every bit of that. We'll just kind of see how things play out. But first pitch, 4 p.m. Central. The game can be seen on the SEC Network Plus via the ESPN app. You can find the official Mississippi State radio call at HealthState.com through the Varsity app, or, of course, the regular Bulldog baseball affiliates. We'll have full coverage. Going to have baseball and basketball today, both home dates. Some people will come to baseball, then kind of mosey over to basketball as Mississippi State gets ready to play Auburn. We'll have full coverage of both events, and we look forward to having you with us really the rest of the way, you know, because this is our time to shine. We absolutely love covering college sports, and there's a lot going on. We got a big staff to cover it all, and I appreciate you guys being along for the ride. And even if you're not a member of jeanspage.com, you can get all your game day coverage from us. Nobody does more than we do, right? So every player that comes to postgame, we do a feature story on that player. We don't just go grab a quote. We do a feature, and we make that stuff free. You can watch the videos and read the articles for free at jeanspage.com. All the big room stuff is free. That's press conferences, game coverage, that kind of stuff. And unless it's an exclusive feature, like what he's had coaches of other teams, we're not going to put it behind a paywall. And so we're going to have more extensive coverage than anybody on the planet when it comes to Mississippi State. So make Mississippi State's, jeanspage.com your preferred website of choice when you need to find out more information about how the Bulldogs play. All right, it is time for today's Close with Blair Player of the Day, and it's pretty obvious who it's going to be. But let me tell you a little more about Blair. He's a winner, too. He didn't go 5 for 5 last night, but chances are he's going to bat 1,000 when it comes to getting your mortgage loan approved more times than not. Great batting average. 25 years of experience and a meat grinder of an industry, he knows how to structure loans to give you the best chance of approval. And if you're not ready to buy a house, he can give you a plan to get you ready to buy a house. Get that pre-qualification letter. That's a life hack they never really tell you about. That way your real estate agent knows your financing's already been approved. You can shop within your means and be in that new home sooner rather than later. You can make the dream of home ownership come true. Get off the hamster wheel of renting and paying somebody else's mortgage, making somebody else rich. You can begin to build some generational wealth for yourself. Put some roots somewhere. Now, Blair Chandler, at Close with Blair, his phone number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That's the only name to know. He's a Bulldog through and through, got a season ticket in multiple sports, a place here in town. I would encourage you to keep business in the family when you can. Whether it's your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler, the only name to know. Your Close with Blair player of the day is Ace Reese. 5 for 5, nearly hits for the cycle last night. 3 extra base hits. Outstanding effort. Playing a good brand of defense over there for us, too. And I thought Brian O'Connor's comments last night about how Ace Reese loves playing the game of baseball. You know, some of the greats don't love it. They're just good at it, right? It's so great when your best players are also your best leaders. And you get that with Ace Reese. And you're seeing that he's leading from in front. He's out there doing the deal. He has credibility in the clubhouse. Everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows he's going to be a tough out. He's a big deal, and he's a Bulldog. We're grateful he's ours, and he's your Closing Blair player of the day. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Kalito Guitars. There will be some guitar in this. Kalito Guitars, Mississippi State owned and operated guitar shop out of Lake Jackson, Texas. You can stop by and see their expansive showroom the next time you're in the greater Houston area. You'll be glad you did. Bring some merch home with you. If you can't make it out there, you can still peruse their fine selections at KalitoGuitars.com. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a beginning guitar, an intermediate guitar, or professional grade guitar. They have an instrument for every skill level, right? So maybe you're just starting out. So, you know, Steve, I don't want to make a big investment. I want to see if I like it. Well, chances are you're going to like it, right? But you can get started without making a huge investment. Maybe you just want to get an acoustic guitar to get going. Maybe you're like me and you just want to plug in, play some power chords, and just kind of rock out for a while. You can do that too. Everything you need to be a better guitar player is available to you at Kalito Guitars. They provide everything but the practice time. That's up to you. And they're not just limited to guitars. They specialize in guitars, but you can get a banjo, a ukulele, really any stringed instrument there. In addition, all the great accessories. I've got a guitar stand. I've got a gig bag. I'm very proud of everything that I've got from Kalito Guitars. I've got a Steve Vai Signature Original. I've wanted that guitar since I was about 16 years of age. Got the monkey grip on it. Steve Vai plays it on stage these days. One of my favorite guitarists of all time. I think there's like Eddie Van Halen and then Steve Vai, right? That's, to me, that's the order. And I don't just mean David Lee Roth picked it for us. Steve Vai is a machine. I had a chance to see him play a few years ago. And the only show I've ever been to where people don't cheer. Everybody just sits there and watches because you're just amazed by that. And it's so great to be able to have a guitar that Steve Vai himself designed. Super. You can have those great moments too. Some creative moments with yourself, right? Visit ColitoGuitars.com. We've got a promo code to help you. You can use it in person, you can use it over the phone, or you can use it online. Promo code BSR. We wanted to keep it simple for you. That enables you to have a 10% discount off their already low price. No sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And no shipping, right? In addition to that, they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. So everybody wins. You win, they win, Mississippi State wins. And you begin to kind of calculate the savings. You understand how important that promo code is. It's exclusive to Boneyard listeners. Promo code BSR at Kalita Guitars. Be sure and check it out today. All right, we're jumping ahead just because I was curious. It's the Music of Delaware today. Music of Delaware. We've never done that. It gives us an opportunity to branch out and learn a little bit more about artists from the state of Delaware. Kind of an eclectic list. Now, number 10, we know him as a Jamaican statesman, but there was a time that Bob Marley lived in Delaware. So this is a little bit of a reach, but we're going to go with it. And we're going to go with Redemption Song from Bob Marley at number 10. He didn't live there long, but he did live there. And was a working stiff like the rest of us worked at the Chrysler Corporation. Number 9, a punk band. And there's not a lot of modern day punk bands these days. But these guys are actually pretty good. It's Boy Sets Fire. Boy Sets Fire. If you like punk music, this may be something that'll scratch that itch. The track we're going to go with is Rookie. Number 8, a little bit of an eclectic sound. This song sounds a little bit like some Led Zeppelin stuff. Like some of the instrumentation they use. Right? Battle of the Evermore, maybe? But it's the Spinto Band's track, Oh Mandy. It's number 8 today. The Spinto Band, Oh Mandy. Very different. Number 7... it's the band Not the Drink. It's Spindrift. And again, more of an alt rock band. Not like the modern heavy metalcore, but I mean true like alternative rock. Our friend Coy Welburn, I think, will like this band. He probably already knows them. But we're going to go with The Legend of God's Gun at number 7. Spindrift's The Legend of God's Gun. Number 6, this band dates back to the 70s. A couple of members went to school together at Sanford in Delaware and put together a band called Television. Television. Their big hit was See No Evil. I think you'll enjoy that too. It's different, for sure. Number 5, a little more of a modern rock band, and that you wonder where people get these names from, right? This band kind of broke around 91 and maybe wasn't widely circulated, but it's got very much that early 90s sound. It's a band called Smashing Orange. Smashing Orange with My Deranged Heart, which is their big single. And they've got a few other tracks I think you'll enjoy. Now, I think you're going to know the final four really well. I think. For those of you that were into alternative rock in the early 90s, there was a great album called Whirligig by a band called The Caulfields. And, of course, that's named after Catcher in the Rye. Holden Caulfield, right? I bought this album for one song and then found out that I really liked the rest of the album. They only did a couple of albums and then they disbanded. But the Caulfields had a great hit called Devil's Diary. It's very much tongue-in-cheek, you know. He's losing, but he kind of like is a self-deluded, you know, his own writings, you know, trying to suggest that, you know, he's winning. But it's an interesting track. I think you'll enjoy it. Again, the Caulfields, an interesting band. I got into them around the same time I got into the Catherine Wheel. Remember them? They were great. Sugartooth, great. Number 3 is UFO. And probably a band that we don't appreciate enough on here. But after Michael Schenker left, they brought Vinnie Moore in. Of course, Vinnie Moore has played with just about everybody. Vinnie Mora, guitar virtuoso in his own right, did a handful of albums with UFO. We're going to go with the track The Wild One, The Wild One from UFO. And if you kind of got off the UFO bandwagon when they began to make some lineup changes, this is one I think is worthy of your time and effort. Number two, not a rock song. More of a big band type thing. I didn't know this guy was from Delaware. I had no clue. But it's Cab Calloway's Minnie the Moocher at number two. And you know this song. Even if you don't remember it, you know this. You put it on, like, I know this. It's legendary. Cab Calloway did a lot of big things. And, you know, a guy that spent a lot of time in Minnesota. So, moved around the Midwest a little bit. You know, but Delaware was home for him for a little while, too. But Cab Calloway's Minnie the Moocher, number two. Number one, and you probably had no clue that this band was from Wilmington, Delaware. It's George Thorogood and the Destroyers. It sounds more Southern rock, doesn't it? But it's not. It's Delaware rock. And George Thorogood has made America rock throughout his career. So you got to go with Bad to the Bone. You have to, right? There's a lot of them you could go with George Thorogood, you know. He's had some big hits, but it's very much kind of a bar rock type operation. But little did you know when you got up this morning that you would find out that George Thorogood is from Delaware. And they're the first state. I don't know if you knew that. They were the first state to ratify the Constitution to become a state, you know, from transitioning from a colony to a state. Little American history on the show today. So if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up my friend, Roy Samanthi, on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. You can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. I get a lot of notifications, so may not see it. So Roy, no disrespect intended, doesn't get quite as many notifications, and that may be the way to go. So hit him up, and we appreciate your support of the top 10 list for so long. Been doing this now since, goodness man, almost 6 years now. Still finding things to talk about, right? Things still pop up. We have artists that release new albums. We have states that we play in or against. It allows us a chance to kind of expand our musical horizons. So maybe not as star-studded a list today, but probably some niche acts that maybe you didn't know as much about that might just kind of, you know, strike you where you need it, right? You may just be looking for something new. And there's going to be somebody, I guarantee right now, somebody listening to this show from my generation, be like, dude, I forgot about the Caulfields. I forgot about Devil's Diary. That was a great album. I encourage you to go check it out. You'll be glad you did. And again, we'll be back with on Friday a fresh list, and you never know. You know, maybe we turn to one of your requests, and we get a lot of duplicate requests. Like I had somebody over the weekend hit me up about Tool and Tremonti. We've done both of those. I need to find those lists to send back to that guy. But we get a lot of that. But one of the things I love doing is when new albums come out, we can kind of freshen our list. You know, Alter Bridge's new album is out. Shinedown has announced they're releasing their eighth album, dropped a new single just yesterday. And a lot of times what happens now is people release kind of the straggling single. And then when they stack up a few singles, they'll finish the album. And then like release those singles is the body of the album with maybe another half dozen songs. But I think you'll have some fun with that. Music has changed a lot. You know, nowadays, everybody, they can get together and record an album and have it on iTunes in a weekend. You know, it's just a different deal than it used to be. We have to wait years sometimes. But the new Shinedown album will be released in its entirety on May 29th. But again, there's a handful of singles already out there, including the brand new one, Safe and Sound. And it is very much in the Shinedown vein. You know, of course, I know all the songs that have been released so far. 365 is great. I love 365. I do. Because a lot can happen in a year. I'm not so big on the Dance Kid Dance track. Some of you guys are. Searchlight is good, too. Killing Fields is just okay. But I'm eager to kind of see what they cook up. right? There's again, they've already released the names of all the tracks, and so I'm eager to kind of see what we're looking at with the new Shinedown record. And of course, they'll probably release a single once a month between now and release date. So for those of you that love them, be looking for new material from them. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. And you can outfit everything you need for a great weekend at Duty Noble Field at Campus Bookmart. You get that new MOVRS cap, perhaps that MOVRS hoodie. You can get yourself a security-approved cooler to kind of hang. But it's a new season. You need new gear. The best place to find it is Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town and perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. You get jerseys, everything you need there. And it's that time of year, right? And things are going to start warming up a little bit. And you need some new spring and summer wear. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. And when it's gift buying time, don't overthink it. Just log on to campusbookmart.net and order all the Bulldogs in your family and friend group Mississippi State merch. They're going to love it. You can't go wrong by doing right. And doing right is getting more Mississippi State merch. Be sure and visit Campus Bookmart today. Okay. As expected, the ladies knock off Arkansas. No real surprise there. Bulldogs now 18-8 overall. And again, you start looking at this thing, the potential to finish with 20 wins and 7-9 in the conference is right there. Bulldogs have won two in a row. Now 13-3 at home. They pick up the road win at Arkansas, and Arkansas really struggling. And the game was never in doubt. You know, they had a few, you know, things that happened late that allowed them to narrow the gap a little bit. But at no point did it ever feel like Mississippi State was in danger of losing that ball game. We'll give you a quick recap, and then we'll look ahead a little bit to Florida. Bulldogs open up with an 8-point advantage, 18-10 after one. They push that out to 33-24 at the break. In the second half, Arkansas kind of figures some things out. They outscore us by 3 in the third and 1 in the fourth, but that's not enough to overcome it. Second half, we were a little bit sluggish at times, but fairly consistent on the offensive end. We kind of gave up some things defensively late. Jayla Lampley with 16 points leads your Bulldogs. Madison Francis in favor, Nwadozie with 13 points apiece. Treyana Crisp with 11. Not one of her better games, but a solid game. Carissa Richardson pitches in just 5. And she's kind of like that, right? Sometimes she'll go out there and lead us in scoring and it kind of disappears a little bit. Awa Fang gives us 9 points off the bench. That's a contribution we haven't had throughout the year, and nice to see that. Bulldogs shoot 14 of 32 from beyond the arc, and didn't get to the line much, just 7 of 10 there, but good rebounding night. Bulldogs pull down 45 rebounds, and when you're playing against a team, you kind of the gang that can't shoot straight, you're going to have a lot of rebounding opportunities. The Bulldogs get plus 15 in the rebounding column. Arkansas pulls down just 30. But your Bulldogs shoot 45% on the night, nearly 44% from three-point land, and then 70% from the free throw line. Limited Arkansas extensively in this ballgame in the first half especially. They shoot 22% in the first half, kind of picked it up some in the second half, 53% there in the third quarter. But they shoot 33% for the game, 17 of 24 from beyond the arc and 15 of 19 from the free throw line. So good win for State. We expected it to win. State's now 5-7 in the SEC. Arkansas drops to 0-12. And yes, that's one we absolutely had to win, and we expected to win. And guess what, kids? We did win. Now, we look ahead to Florida. That game's going to be Thursday, 6:30 tip in Humphrey Coliseum. And we need a big ball game. We need a good crowd. We need some good things to happen. This is a team, again, it's on the cusp of making the NCAA tournament. Florida comes in 15-12 and 3-9 in the conference. They lost their last ball game. They have been incredibly poor away from the O'Connell Center. 1-8 in true road games, 2-0 on neutral floor, but 1-8 in real road games. That bodes well for us. And again, this is a team, again, just 3 games over 500, a game that we need to get. let's kind of look back and see how things worked out for them this year. They get off to a great start. They blow out North Florida, Chattanooga, Jacksonville, Samford. They lose to Navy in Annapolis by 15. They bounce back and take care of Florida State, and that game wasn't even close. They won by 22. They go on the road to FAU, right? We've been there before. We played to FAU before. 8 points, winners. They get Memphis by 14. They get Georgia Tech down in the Caymans. That's just two neutral site games. Cayman Islands class, and they get Memphis and Georgia Tech down there. They're feeling good about life. They lose by 4 in Blacksburg to Virginia Tech. It's a respectable loss. And then they get South Alabama. They double up West Georgia, 85-41. And they blow out Florida A&M. They lose to Tulsa in Gainesville by 7. Bounce back to get Furman, 82-66. So all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know, we haven't played perfect, but we're going to end the non-conference portion of our schedule with a 12-3 record. We got a chance. Well, hadn't worked out well. They go to Tennessee. They lose that game by 11. And then they host South Carolina. They put up a fight, but then lose by 11. They host Texas A&M. They lose by 8. They go to Auburn. Lose by 10. They go to Kentucky. Lose by just 5. And that's a tough place to play, as you guys know. They finally get an SEC win against Missouri in Gainesville by 18. They travel to Baton Rouge, get beat by 29 by the Tigers, lose by 20 at home to Texas. They go to Vandy, get beat there 82-66. And then they nip Auburn 61-53 in the return game. They narrowly get Arkansas in Gainesville by 6. And that game just happened about 10 days ago. So it's not like they got them early when Arkansas was still feeling good about life. They go to Oklahoma, lose 81-74, and now they head to Mississippi State. And so, again, you look at this and you begin to realize this Florida team benefited from pretty poor non-conference schedule. In many respects, you know, kind of like that Georgia team. They just weren't quite as gaudy in the non-conference. And give Georgia a little bit of credit. They played a little bit better as of late. But this is a Florida team that has struggled to make shots. Let's kind of dig inside the numbers here to kind of give you all a little more what to expect. Look at the team numbers first. They're averaging about 74 points a game and giving up 66. So, you know, almost a plus 8 differential. But again, it's skewed because of how poor the non-conference schedule was. But to be fair to them, they've been competitive in some SEC games against some pretty good opponents, shooting about 45%, allowing about 40. Not a very prolific three-point shooting team, right at 29%. They're giving up about 29% as well. They make about 5 three-pointers a game. Pretty decent at the free throw line, shooting about 70%. Rebounding has been negligible, I guess. And again, when you consider the poor non-conference schedule, you think this number would be skewed a lot more in a positive direction. Florida pulling down about 38 boards, their opponents 36. So it's less than plus 2. So it's pretty much even. In an SEC play, it's worse. They hand out about 13 assists a game. They give up a dozen. They will turn it over about 17 times a game, opponents almost 19 times a game. So it's a 1.6 plus differential for Florida in that respect. They're scoring about 20 points off turnovers a contest, but giving up 17. So it's, again, the numbers are reflective of a team that's hovering around 500. Not as handsy as some other teams. They get about 10 steals a game. They also have their pockets picked about 8 times a game. They will get their hands up in the air, but they're not a prolific shot-blocking team right at 4. Let's get inside the individual numbers here. Liv McGill, kind of the straw that stirs the drink, playing 37 minutes a game. That'll get it done. 22.5 points. Just 3 double-digit scorers for the Gators. Miara O'Neill with 14.1, and then Layla Reynolds with 12.3. After that, there's a sizable difference in the scoring margin. They don't have anybody else even approaching double figures. Everybody else is around 5 points or less. And so it's been just kind of this core nucleus team. They have played pretty much 4 of the 5 starters have played significantly in the starting lineup. McGill's missed a couple of games, but has started every game she's appeared in. O'Neill's played all 27. Reynolds has played all 27 with 26 starts. Alexia Dzeko has 27 games played, 19 starts, and then Katarina Piatti has started all 27. They've had a few other partial starters, but that's been primarily the group, you know. But it's just so interesting to see how things, you know, kind of play out here. The most prolific three-point shooter is McGill, but she's shooting about 26%. They've shot 511 three-point baskets. She shot 159 of them and completed 41 of them. And so, again, this is a team you don't want to foul at them, get to the line and get the N1 opportunities. But this team coming into Humphrey Coliseum, a team that has struggled on the road and a team that is really trending in the wrong direction against a team that's 1-2 in a row, I like our chances in the ballgame. And we have had some situations like this in the past where we felt pretty good about things, only to see us come up short. So if we are growing and we can protect the basketball and not have 20-some-odd turnovers, we got a good chance to win this game. And then that sets up the final three, two of those three on the road. But you win this one on Thursday. That brings you to 19 wins. You travel to Texas. Gonna be tough. You travel to A&M, should be a game you can win, even on you know foreign territory. And then LSU here to close out the regular season finale. And again, LSU's great. Maybe not as great as they have been, but they're great. But I expect to beat the A&M team down in College Station to get the 20 wins. And then anything else you get is a big bonus. But to think where we've been and where we are and the up and down nature of the season, to think, hey, we get 20 wins, finish right at 500 in the league or a game behind it, you've got an opportunity to get back to the tournament. And the truth of the matter is, I had this discussion yesterday. Can we argue maybe that the last few years, the most stable program that we've had is women's basketball? Honestly. You look at soccer, you had the high of winning the SEC tournament and you know advancing multiple times in NCAA tournament, well, then James leaves. And then Nick leaves, right? So that hurts your stability. You know, Chris Jans, obviously, three NCAA tournament appearances. You could make a case there, but, of course, this year being the outlier, right? You know, football, obviously, three consecutive losing seasons, and we just had to make a coaching change on the baseball side of things. Softball, been pretty good. We hadn't advanced in the tournament as much as we probably should have. But I think you can make a case that Sam Purcell's program the last few years has been Mississippi State's most consistent. And I don't know if that gets reported enough. I think some people just kind of, they're still unfairly comparing Sam to Vic in a moment in time that we've never had before and may never have again. But if you look at what we've done historically, I think you can say Sam Purcell's done a great job. And you look at what State went through the post-Vic Schaefer fallout, I think you can argue that Sam Purcell has done a very good job. And he's kind of made his place his own. You know, Auburn made the change last year. There are a lot of people that said that Sam Purcell would crawl through glass to get back to Auburn. You know, he's an Auburn man, and a lot of people in his family connected to Auburn. Well, he's still here. And we told you that the very first day that Sam Purcell was not expected to be a candidate at Auburn, and ultimately he wasn't. He's here. So I think you should get used to him being here, but also, too, get used to the fact that he is going to do a good job coaching and have this team in the potential to make the NCAA tournament. And been in the postseason every year. You know, 1 year we made the BIT tournament. We didn't make the big dance, but made it interesting for sure. So that's where things sit on the women's side of things. And let's look at the men. Big game tonight, as you guys are well aware. Auburn's coming in, and you know, a chance for us to do something of significance. Obviously, we recap the weekend event. We beat Ole Miss, but Bulldogs 12-13. You know, 12-13. I think it's fair to say we're not going to be in the postseason anywhere, unless we go on a major run. And not expecting that. Bulldogs 4-8 in the conference. But all of a sudden, you're kind of seeing some signs of life for this team. You know, we went through that difficult stretch. You know, you beat LSU, then you lose the game at Missouri you shouldn't have. Get drilled by Arkansas, drilled by Tennessee. Well, then you bounce back and you beat Ole Miss. And again, that Tennessee game, that game was over and we put together an 18-0 run and make it a game late, we could just find a way to get a little more consistent, we'd probably feel a little bit better about things. But not much in the regular season left, but some winnable games. I mean, all of a sudden, you find a way to beat Auburn, and then South Carolina hadn't been great. Put together a three-game winning streak, it kind of makes for some meaningful basketball down the stretch. We've been there before, too. Kind of left for dead, and Chris Jans and the staff find a way to get things going. So the schedule, I think, while it's not easy, there are some pockets in this schedule that we feel like, you know what, hey, that's a winnable game for us, and I believe one of those happens tonight with Auburn coming in. Tigers 14-11 overall, 5-7. 5-7 in SEC play and 2-5 in true road games. Let's kind of take a look and see how they got there too. They had some exhibition games early in this deal, but Bethune-Cookman, they get them, and it goes to overtime, right? Bethune-Cookman goes into Neville Arena and forces an OT period. But Auburn wins 95-90. They get Merrimack and then Wofford. They lose to Houston, who was ranked number one at the time, by one. And you think, okay, maybe they're going to be okay. Well, they blast Jackson State. They get Oregon. Then they lose, top 25 matchup to Michigan, and it really wasn't competitive. They played out in the Players Era Championship in Vegas. They get beat by 30 by Michigan. They bounce back to take care of St. John's, 85-74. So you feel like, hey, we went out there to Vegas. We played three quality teams, and we won two of those three. Then they get NC State by 10 in the ACC-SEC Challenge. Again, ambitious schedule. They go to Arizona, lose out there by 21. They bounce Chattanooga. They lose to Purdue and Indianapolis, 88-60. They bounce Queens, 106-65. Then you get an SEC play. They lose a barn burner of a game in overtime to Georgia, 104-100. Then they lose to A&M at Auburn by two. They get Arkansas, which is a team that gave us a ton of trouble, 95-73. They travel to Missouri. They lose there too. They beat South Carolina by four at Auburn. They travel to Oxford. This is a good win for them. This happened just a month ago. And they win there 78-66. They go to Florida. Rematch of last year's Final Four game. And they get them 76-67. They win in the O'Connell Arena. That's a big win. They beat Texas by six. They go to Tennessee, get beat by eight. They lose to Alabama by four. And that's one of the Betty Ocko games. How is that going to be viewed? They get beat by Vandy by eight. They lose at Arkansas in Bud Walton by 13. And now they come in here. So the Tigers on a four-game losing streak. And, sometimes taking a team on the road is a good chance to kind of reset. And maybe that's how they're looking at it. But the way I look at it is this is a winnable game being played in Starkville, Mississippi. And we need a good turnout. I know it's an 8 o'clock tip, so it's tough. It's going to be an ESPN, too. It's tough during the work week to get here. I get it. But we need our students to kind of carry us a little bit. Okay, Auburn averaging 84 points a game. Defense has not been really up to par. They're giving up 79 a game. So they're outscoring the teams by just under five. Shooting 46 from the field. Giving up about 46 from the field. Shooting 33%. Our opponents from three-point land shooting almost 36%. So Auburn, this is probably a surprise to many, getting outshot by about 1 3-point basket per game. They've been solid at the free throw line, so have their opponents. Auburn rebounding, again, kind of negligible. What you'd expect for a team hovering around 500, they're out rebounding opponents by about four, pulling down about 37 boards a game, giving up about 33. They hand out 13 assists, but their opponents doing a better job at 14.2. Turnovers hasn't been a big issue. About 10 a game, but they're only forcing about a dozen. So you're not making up a lot there. They're giving about 7.5 steals a game, and they're getting the ball picked about 6.5. So, again, it's kind of – everything is negligible. Again, it's amazing how you look at these numbers, and they're reflective of the record. Everything is just kind of average. Now, they've got four double-digit scorers and one guy that comes off the bench, kind of the first guy off the bench that's approaching double figures. Keyshawn Hall, 20.7 points per game. Tahad Pettiford, 14.7. Kevin Overton, 12.2. Keyshawn Murphy, we know him, 11. He started 22 of 23 games for them. Where would we be with Keyshawn Murphy right now? Elijah Freeman, 9.2 points a game. And Keyshawn did a good job on the glass for him, too, pulling down about 7 boards a game, which is the high per average. And total number of boards, he's pulled down 161. You know, rebounding has been a challenge for us at times. Keyshawn Hall's done a good job for him, too, off the glass at 157. But three-point shooting, interesting dynamic here. Hall right at 40%, and then Pettiford right at 28%. You know, it is what it is, you know. But this is a team that we're capable of beating. Need to find a way to get it done. That's as simple as that, you know. And if we're going to make anything of this season and have any juice heading into the offseason, you know, we got to win some games down the stretch. I mean, that's not a hot take. That's just the reality of life. But, again, you start thinking about this. You beat Ole Miss. You find a way to get Auburn. You win at South Carolina. You know, who knows? You know, who knows? But the last four games on the schedule are rough. We've got to go to Bama, which, again, house of horrors for us. Missouri comes here. Maybe that's winnable. You go to Florida, that's going to be tough. And Georgia comes here. You know, we'll see. But, again, winnable games. But we just got to take it a game at a time and do our best to see what happens. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially for bringing a large group to town, and you should. You've seen it on movies, documentaries, whatever. People go rent a big house. They sit around. They visit. Maybe it's an adventure. Maybe it's just a chance to just kind of recreate and catch up. You owe it to yourself and the people you love to have that experience. Whether it's a ball game weekend or perhaps some vacation time that you've got accrued that you want to spend in your favorite town, Starkville, Mississippi, this is the way to go about it. 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, soon to be 3, full-service kitchen, wet bar, back porch area, fire pit area, plenty of parking so everybody can get there and not have to worry about where they're going to park, easy loading. Everything is great. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's right off 182, the old renovated Country Club clubhouse out past the Highlands. It's available to you. We stayed there. We had a blast. You will too. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page will pop up, right? And you'll have the opportunity to peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests, but also some booking options. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, and I suspect you do, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay. So just by listening to this show, you get a discount at the premium place to congregate in the Golden Triangle. And it's available 365 days a year. So maybe you're bringing a work crew to town, and rather than have everybody just spread out all over the place, have everybody under one roof. I had some friends that had some work to do in the Golden Triangle in the school system, and they were spreading out. But they had some common areas to work and plenty of places to sleep. Maybe that works for you too. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, let's take a look back at the SEC baseball week end, or a week, midweek, if I can get it out. Every day kind of feels like the same in baseball season, right? We got so many games, you know, and I love it. I love it. It's great for us. It is. And big content days for us, too. But let's kind of look back here at Tuesday's scores. So it's so interesting, too. Like, a lot of people think, like, it only happens to us that you have, like, that tight midweek game. Well, Morehead State beats number 18 Kentucky 8-6 in Lexington. Morehead State with 11 hits in the ballgame. And Kentucky with a couple of errors that truly cost them. Tennessee knocks off UNC Asheville 10-3, and of course your Bulldogs 13-7 winners over Troy. Ole Miss struggled but found a way to get it done. And Arkansas State's playing pretty well too. Arkansas State was 3-0 coming in. The Rebels win that game 7-6. Bit of an offensive game, 24 hits combined. Ole Miss with 5 errors in the game. Allowed the Red Wolves to kind of hang around. Alabama plays at Samford at Joe Lee Griffin Field. We played there. Alabama escapes with a win. 3 runs on 4 hits. Samford had 7 hits, but they lose 3-2. Interesting, right? It's a win, and that's what you want this time of year. But it doesn't just happen to us. South Carolina gets Wofford 8-2. Wofford at the SoCon has been a pretty interesting program. You know, they kind of had some guys leave Wofford and go to LSU, you know, after that regional a couple years ago. Vanderbilt gets Eastern Michigan 13-2. Texas gets Lamar 14-4. Florida Atlantic hosts Missouri, and they get the win 4-2. You know, Missouri won their series over the weekend against Mount St. Mary's. And then the Owls, 4-2 winners. And Missouri with a couple of errors in that ballgame. Florida takes down Stetson 12-2. And again, you know, Stetson, again, is in the Atlantic Sun, has been pretty good, but off to an 0-4 start. The Islanders of A&M Corpus Christi make it interesting for a while. They were 4-0 coming in, but they lose to A&M 8-3. Swung it pretty well, 8 hits. And then Cincinnati goes to Auburn, Alabama, and beats the Tigers 8-0. An SEC team getting shot at home in the midweek, that's not something you see every day. But the Bearcats, 14 hits. Auburn can't score. Like, that's been the issue, right? I mean, you go back and you look at this Auburn schedule, you know, and I still feel like Auburn's an interesting team for hosting, but they got to get some offense. You know, as mentioned, you know, they swept Youngstown State over the weekend. They went 2-1, 2-1, and 17-2. And then they lose 8-0. So in 3 of their 4 games, they've combined to score 4 runs. And you hadn't faced elite pitching. I can't imagine that Bearcat midweek pitching is great. But, of course, Cincinnati's one of those teams that's just kind of been a bubble team. This is a big win for them, for sure. But that's your SEC scoreboard from yesterday. And, again, some games today, too. We'll take a look at those. We get them to punt, come up here. I just want things to work, right? I mean, like Steve, you don't have a lot of patience. I just want stuff to work. Right? I mean, I just want to, I work. I want everything else to work. I know it's an imperfect world, but I want things to work. All right, this afternoon, Nicholls State, 0-4. Nicholls will take on LSU there at Alex Box. USC Upstate, 2-2, will take on Georgia out at Foley Field. That's going to be a 3 p.m. start. Gardner Webb, who's 3-1, will take on South Carolina. Alabama State, 2-1, will visit Tuscaloosa to play the Crimson Tide. Jackson State, traveling to Ole Miss. Alcorn State, of course, will be here at Mississippi State. Eastern Michigan play at Vandy, and then Stetson again at Florida. So a lot of teams kind of getting that 5-week play week out of the way. A lot of that happening. And, again, we'll preview the weekend as we get a little bit closer to it. We'll get the Friday show. No SEC series will begin on Thursday, but it's interesting, you know, these early season tournaments. It's it's just kind of part of the deal, you know. And we, you know, again, next weekend we'll beat Arlington. Got to get the oil change for that, right? Big trip. Can't wait, honestly. Cannot wait. Got friends in Arlington. I hope to get a chance to see some of them. But, it's – kind of is what it is these times of year. Like, you got some friends, the only time you see them is at the ball games, right? I mean, they show up, you know, at Duty Noble Field, or we see them when we're traveling, and it's great. And for those of you that know me too, I got a friend that makes these Mississippi State buttons, baseball buttons, and when I travel to away games, I give those things away. Like, I do. It's kind of as a reward. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, appreciate you coming out and supporting the Bulldogs. It doesn't say Gene's page on it or my name or have my picture or anything. It's just Mississippi State stuff. And it's not anything that we sell. We just give it away. So if you see me out at Arlington, maybe ask for a button. And I'm happy to give them to you. You know, I like to give them more to the wives and the kids, but I'll give them to you too. Okay? I think, you know, when we got Little Diamond Dogs coming up the ranks, anytime we can get them excited about having something Mississippi State related, it's a great thing. That's my take on it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, when I start working through this schedule, and it's easy to get ahead of yourself, right? I mean, it truly is. Now, let's just kind of say it for what it is. Mississippi State's 18-0 all time against Alcorn State. So you feel like a win is essentially assured, right? Now, we had a game a few years ago that we barely won, I think 3-2. But you feel like, hey, this is one we should be able to get. I don't know if they can hit us. And, of course, Tyler Pitts are starting for us today. Yeah, I think we'll be good. The Troy win to me, even though they're 1-3, is the most impressive because I know that program. But then you start getting into the weekend, and you'll read tomorrow. You know, they have not played well at Delaware, and we'll give you the full preview on Friday's show. But I fully expect to win that series. I just don't think they're going to have enough arms to compete with this offense. And then you think about Tuesday, Austin Peay coming in here. There's a real chance that we're undefeated headed to Arlington. I think if we say the games we're expected to win, we should win these next five. We should. Now, Delaware obviously is a team that has some tradition. I expect them to probably have a game that, you know, maybe where things kind of come together for them and we have to beat them back. But when you start looking at this and you start looking ahead the next week, and again, that first game is 11 a.m. Friday, which means your good friend and host will have to travel up on Thursday. And, you know, we'll spend a couple nights out there in Arlington and, you know, be a good time. And then we'll make the drive back after the UCLA game on Sunday. But, yeah, I hope that you guys will make the trip too. And of course, as soon as we get back, we got to head to Southern Miss. And you know what a big game that is for them. It's a big game for us too, but it's a bigger game for them. Yeah, because they don't have as many RPI climbing opportunities. So you saw what happened last year. We played the home and home. We split with them. We routed them here, and they basically shut us down there. But there's before you know it, man, we're going to be in SEC play. I mean, you say, Steve, the season just started. It is. It's true. And we're going to have our second weekend knocked out in just a matter of days. There's only two more weekends before we get into SEC play. We go to Arlington, and then we have Lipscomb. We go down to Biloxi, play Tulane, and then we're going to go to Fayetteville. It happens quick this time of year, you know. And I think we like the fact that it's somewhat regimented. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not like basketball sometimes. You know, basketball, you get two games a week. It gives you a lot to look forward to. But sometimes you get that like the midweek off. Right? And it feels like it takes forever, especially when you have a bad taste in your mouth. That's the one thing about baseball. There's so many games. You can kind of get a palate cleanser a little quicker. But absolutely excited about getting back out to the ballpark. When we left last night, everybody's like, hey, let's do it again tomorrow. And again, it just felt so good to get the big lead and not have the anxious moment. But I feel like those guys, especially those young, like Chris Billingsley's a guy that's very talented. He is. And I know that he's had some walks these first couple appearances. And last night wasn't good. Like the first inning, he was great. Great. In his first outing. Second inning, he wasn't. And I think sometimes what happened, the moment gets a little bit too big. And maybe that's a guy you got to work in midweek to kind of get him right. He has electric stuff. It's just a matter of him understanding that he belongs here. And there are so many of you that you just want to win today's game, right? And that's job one. But sometimes it's a bit of an untidy undertaking, right? It is, because like last night is a great example. Like I saw some comments, and I agree with them. I said, hey, that game ended up being a lot closer than it probably should have been. Well, the innings that we afforded some guys last night to get some work will make us better in the long run. while it may make it a bit of a slippery slope down the stretch in a ball game, like, I wanted that game to be over in seven innings last night. I thought that had been a great statement. But you know what? The fact that we're able to get some other guys out there and get them some work, that's a good thing. That's one of the reasons you play these games. You play them to win them, but you want to also get the benefit of getting some guys some work. If you've never pitched at Duty Noble Field, it is a very intimidating experience. Even though 95% of those fans in attendance are cheering for you, there's a lot of eyes on you. And you got to think about Billingsley, which is a guy that was a JUCO guy last year. I mean, there may have been at most 100 people at a game. So you got to build up some mental toughness. You know, like in the Jack Bauer stuff, right? I love Jack, and Jack's going to be great for us, right? And already I see people, oh, he'll be in a starting rotation in no time. No, he won't. No, he won't. And that's not fair to him to put those expectations on him. High velocity, high effort pitchers, even though I think his delivery is probably a little less violent than you'd expect, those guys take some time to be groomed into starters. To expect him in the weekend rotation this year is asking too much. And the reels out there show him striking out the side. They don't show him struggling in the ninth inning, right? That's not to be critical of Jack. He's a young man making his Bulldog debut. As I have tried to do since June, is to temper expectations. So for those of you expecting him to just come in and dominate because he throws really hard from the left side, you're only setting yourself up for disappointment. He has it in him, but you've got to give Parker and O'Connor time to work with him to build up some stamina, but to build confidence. I mean, if you go back and look at Jack Bauer's numbers last year in high school, they're not especially impressive. The radar gun numbers are great, but right now they're just kind of teaching him how to pitch at the college level, and they're going to take their time with him. He'll have his moments this year, for sure. He'll throw some in SEC games, absolutely, but to expect him to take over a spot in the weekend rotation, come on. That's asking too much. It's true, and you need to accept that. And you'd say, well, I don't understand. You know, number one, have you seen the quality competition that he played in high school? And you understand that we have some of the best teams in all college baseball in this league? We got to ramp him up. So you give him a couple innings last night, you bring him back next week, maybe let him pitch against Austin Peay, right? Then maybe bring him back against Lipscomb for an inning or two. You got to ramp him up, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. You don't want to give him too much right out of the gate. So, yeah, it's electric, but those reels that are making the rounds only tell part of the story. An incredibly talented young man that is still settling in. And so I think it's important for our fans to temper expectations and be patient with him. We don't want people out there, you know, like, oh, well, he throws 103. Well, yeah, it's one thing to throw 103. It's another thing to be able to pitch. And you saw last night that slider he has is filthy. And Sean James had some trouble catching him. It's 103 for the hitter, and it's 103 for the catcher. Now, the catcher, hopefully, has a better idea where that ball's going. But when you see the tail and the break on that slider, that's a lot to ask of a catcher. And so that's an aspect of it, too. If you think about it, I mean, like, I think every one of those strikeouts we had to throw down first, you know, because it's so filthy. But you got to give Parker and O'Connor and Jack time to harness this, time to polish the game up a little bit. And, hey, by the time we get into the spring, you know, yeah, he's going to be a guy that contributes. But let's be fair to the kid. That's what I'm missing. And we're sometimes the world's worst about this. You know, if somebody comes out there and does something, I mean, it's like, you know, like right out of the gate. Remember Imani Larry when he first got here? You couldn't get him out. You couldn't get him out. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, look what we got. Well, then what happens is the best coaches in college baseball get film on him. And you're like, hey, this kid is red hot, transferred in from UNO. Well, now all of a sudden they start pitching him a little bit different. You know, baseball is a game of adjustments, not just in game, but over the course of a season. And by the end of the year, everybody's going to be feeding you what makes you uncomfortable. So when you see a lot of people start hot and then tail off, it doesn't mean they're a bust. It's just that the adjustment game didn't break their way. You can overthink it, but the reality of it is they're the great ones are ones that can adjust in-game and understand and learn from each experience. It's like, hey, the last time I played these guys, this is how they pitched me. Well, if you had success against them, chances are they're going to change things up. So you got to continue to kind of evolve as the game does. And so, you know, by the end of Jack Bauer's career, I think he is going to be one of these guys you look back and you think, my gosh, I can't believe he was a Bulldog. But that day's not today. And so I shared that out of love for Jack and a love for you and love for Mississippi State. So everybody needs to understand we have one of the best coaches in college baseball. We have one of the best pitching coaches in college baseball. We have one of the best teams in college baseball. Let's not make this sideshow, right? This manufactured misery. Oh, we got to throw this guy more. We can't do it before he's ready. We saw it with the Camargo Taylor thing too. We did. You got to give these kids a chance to walk before they could run. And Jack Bauer's got an incredibly high ceiling. Incredibly high ceiling. He's going to win a lot of ball games at Dirty Noble Field. He's going to walk off that mound in victory a lot of times. But we got to make sure that our coaching staff, the one that we all agree is one of the best in the country, let them put a plan together. And don't go run to social media and start tweeting the official account or tweeting at Zach Selman. I don't understand. We're 4-0. And we've already got some people out there that are already trying to find something to gripe about. We're uncomfortable being happy, right? It's just like, it's one of the questions I saw on social media, you know, game one. Well, that didn't look like a top 10 team to me. Did we look like a top 10 team last night? I mean, ask yourself. You know, they threw out a couple of P4 guys, and we rocked them all over the ballpark. You know, and again, we'll get a litmus test next weekend in Arlington. But I'm not going to worry about Arlington until I get in a car to drive there. It's incredibly important that we enjoy the journey. Over the last couple of years, we've spent time just kind of hoping we can make 500 in SEC play to make a regional somewhere. Now the expectations have changed. But let's not wipe away the potential enjoyment of the daily and weekly journey, worrying about what the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee is going to say in June. There's a lot of baseball to be played now and then. And we need to take our time and enjoy each one of them. We're playing Alcorn State tonight. I don't care. Mississippi State is playing. My team is playing. Your team is playing. And I don't care who they trot out there. I'm going to be pulling for our guys and for our team. And I would encourage you, take a deep breath and understand this may be one of those seasons that we remember the rest of our lives. So let's not rush it away. Oh, I just can't wait till we get to Arlington. We got 5 more games before we get to Arlington, and I'm going to enjoy every single one of them. And I encourage you to do the same. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, and of course the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. I got something else I'm working on too, something a little bit different. I've had many of you tell me that Blooms of Oleander is actually one of your favorite books of mine, and I appreciate that. I've got something else I'm working on with that, okay? More details to come. I got a conversation later today. Got something kind of interesting. I want to introduce you to somebody, and we're going to use some of my writing catalog to allow you to do that, somebody that I think needs a bigger audience. So no details yet, but we'll get that to you soon. And then also to come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's rocking again today. It's a Wednesday, and I think we're floating 20 today. So, yeah, it's been really busy. Been very, very busy. And obviously, this is beginning year 3 for us. And we're last year was a good year for us. This year has already gotten off to a great start. We're ahead of next year, last year, easily. And thank you. And your comments, so many of you have messaged me to tell me how wonderful a woman my wife is, and I appreciate that more than you could ever know. I share those with her, and I can tell you, she's not a person that necessarily takes compliments well. I don't mean that in a negative way. She just, you know, I'll tell her, I said, yeah, this person said this. Oh, thank you, you know. You know, she's one of those kinds of people. Like, I mean, I've probably told her she's beautiful a million times in the years we've been together. But the point about being is that it's been fun for me for you all to get to know her a little bit. But, yeah, you can call her 662-268-7601. Speak directly to her. She can answer any questions you have and get you scheduled to float. And, again, you need an appointment. And if it's your first appointment, you got to be there 30 minutes early. I got to put that disclaimer out there because we've had – as the schedule gets busier – you got to understand, we got to stay on schedule. This is not a doctor's office, right? We have an appointment, and there are people behind you that have appointments too. So come join us over at jeanspage.com, the longest running and biggest Mississippi State media company the world has ever seen. And again, if you're not ready to be a subscriber, we again encourage you to come by and view our free content. We put that up for you. We want to celebrate victories with you and let you have you know, quotes and questions asked of your coaches and players, and we make that information free to you. So come check it out. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.